Our first scripture reading will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5, which is found on page, looks like we've got the wrong page numbers in the 587. Okay. 587 in your pew Bibles. This time let us listen to God's word for us. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations. He shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Our epistle reading will come from the book of Romans. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And it is found on page 987 of your pew Bibles. We'll be reading verses 11 through 14. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, and not in quarreling and jealousy, but on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Our gospel lesson this morning will come from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 36 through verse 44, which is found on page 859 of your pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and swept them away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is, of course, the first Sunday in Advent. This is the Sunday when we start the countdown to Christmas, the celebration of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. But we're reminded this morning that Advent is not just about the first coming of Jesus. It is also about the waiting and the watching for our Lord to come again. The Christian faith acknowledges that one day Jesus will return and reconcile all things unto God's self. And so we are waiting in this season of Advent, not only for the first coming, but also watching and waiting for the Lord to once again return. The same Jesus, we are reminded, who ascended into heaven after his resurrection will one day come again. That is part of our Christian hope. But Jesus acknowledges that no one knows when that day will be. No one knows the day or the hour. In fact, Jesus says that not even he knows the day or the hour, but that the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night. So stay awake. That's what he says. Stay awake. I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard to imagine Jesus as a thief. Can hardly imagine Jesus prowling around in the dark, peering through windows, checking locked doors, waiting for an opportunity when we least expect him to sneak in and to steal away our livelihoods. And yet that's what Jesus says. He will come like a thief in the night. The Son of Man will come like a thief in the night. If you've ever had the misfortune of having your home burglarized, you know how terribly disconcerting that can be. Coming home and finding your cabinet doors flung open, drawers pulled out, their contents dumped and scattered on the floor, mattresses overturned, furniture strewn about. Terribly, terribly disruptive and disconcerting. And yet Jesus says that that's the way that God is going to sneak up on all of us. It's the way that God is going to sneak up on the world. And he says, don't let that happen to you, but stay awake. Whenever Jesus talks this way, of course, it always sounds a little spooky, always sounds a little frightening. But Jesus doesn't intend for it to be frightening. It is actually this apocalyptic section that he talks about here is a word of promise and hope. It is the promise and hope of God's coming future. Jesus says that one day all heaven is going to break loose. One day when the world least expects it, God's future is going to arrive. It is going to come. And we read in from the prophet Isaiah what that future is going to look like. All the things that we sometimes take for granted, all the things that we sometimes cherish is going to be swept away. There's going to be no more violence. There's going to be no more war. There's going to be no more guns. There's going to be no more greed. There's going to be no more discrimination. There's going to be no more people at each other's throats. Instead, we are told that nations will no longer go to war with nations, and they will beat their weapons, their implements of weapons, into implements of work, implements of peace. But there will be no more war, no more violence. Kind of hard for us to imagine a world like that, especially here in this country. We see violence and we're at each other's throats at every turn. We spend billions and billions of dollars on the implements of war. Imagine if we didn't spend that money on war, the good uses that money could go to, those resources could go to. But Jesus is reminding us that one day, God will sneak up on us. The kingdom of God will sneak up on us. And God's coming future will arrive. But he tells us that in the meantime, and that's what Jesus is concerned about. He's concerned about the meantime. He's concerned about the present. He's concerned about time right now, how we live our lives right now. He says that in the meantime, It's important that you stay awake. Stay awake. Stay alert. It's hard, perhaps, to stay awake when you don't know when something is going to happen. We've all been waiting for Jesus now for over 2,000 years, and it's just kind of easy to fall asleep, kind of easily to fall into our old routines, wondering when Jesus is going to happen. When are you going to come again, Lord? When are you going to bring the kingdom? When are you going to put a stop to the way that we live our lives, to the way that we disregard one another? When are you going to put a stop to the poverty? When are you going to put an end to the tears? When are you going to put an end to the injustice? When are you going to put an end to all the greed? When are you going to put an end to the racism? When are you going to put an end to the sexism? When are you going to put an end to the divisiveness? When are you going to put an end to the gun violence? When are you going to put it all to an end? Jesus says, it's going to happen. Stay awake. In one of her novels, Ann Taylor's novels, she tells a story about a young couple who get married and they have several children. And when one of their children, Linda, gets old enough, she leaves the house, runs away, and they continue to wait for her to return. They wait a couple of weeks and she doesn't return. They wait a few months, she doesn't return. Weeks turns into months. Months turns into years. And every night, the mother and father are waiting for their dear daughter to return. They hear every footstep that comes up on the sidewalk. They hear every creak of a door. They're watching and waiting for their daughter to come home. One day, maybe she will return. But year after year goes by and she does not return. After several years, the mother passes. And then one day the daughter, out of the blue, comes back home. And the father says, you know, I had given up, but your mother always knew. She always knew deep down in her heart that you would return, that one day you would return. And that's the way we are to wait for the coming of the Son of Man, that one day he will return. One day Jesus will return to reconcile this whole world to himself. One day he will come to bring God's justice and peace and love to this world. And Jesus says, stay awake. Make sure you stay awake. I often wonder what Jesus means when he talks about staying awake. And he counsels us to be alert, to stay awake. One thing I'm sure that it doesn't mean that we are to be hunkered down, you know, hunkered down, looking up in the sky, watching and waiting for Jesus to return, maybe to rapture us up or something like that. I don't think that's what Jesus means. Being hunkered down and watching and waiting, trying to interpret what different events might mean for the end time, that doesn't prepare us for the coming of the kingdom of God. Instead, that's likely to make us more mean-spirited, more inclusive and exclusive, more exclusive of other people. But Jesus says, stay awake. Stay alert. Sometimes I think that the world around us understands things a little bit more than we Christians do. I remember talking to a young woman several months ago, and she said, the problem with the church and the problem with you preachers is that you're just not woke. You have to stay woke. You have to be woke. And I'd heard that word used quite frequently of late, and so I, you know, Googled it up and discovered something called woke culture. And being woke means being aware of the world around you, being aware of the kind of world in which you live, being aware of the injustices taking place, and not only being aware, but being actively involved in eradicating those kinds of injustices. And when that young woman told me that and I discovered what being woke meant, I thought, you know, maybe she's on to something. Sometimes we in the church are asleep. We are asleep to the things that are going on around us, asleep to the pain and suffering in the world, asleep to what's going on in our communities, asleep. But Jesus says, stay awake. Stay alert. I think that when we talk about staying awake, the Apostle Paul knows a little bit about what that means. Paul tells us that we should be conducting ourselves in a way that we always anticipate the imminent return of our Lord. No drunkenness, no revelry, no being motivated and led by lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. But Paul says something else earlier before that passage. Paul says that as Christians, what we are called to do is to love one another. If you love one another, then you are obeying and upholding the law. If we love one another, then we are staying awake, just the way that God wants us to stay awake. We are being alert to the possibility that God might break into our world at any time. I've been in the preaching business for a long time now, over 25 years. And it's interesting that whenever you start talking about love, I've discovered that for some reason, I don't know why, people just kind of, you know, they turn off as if you're saying something foreign. I had a conversation with a young man the other day in Starbucks, and he was wanting to know what would happen to all the people who never heard of Jesus before, what I thought was going to happen to them, and I said, I have no idea. That's between them and God, and thank God that they're in the hands of a loving God, a trusting God, a God that loves each and every one of us. And for some reason, he didn't like that answer. He kind of got angry. He wanted me to say that God was somehow going to, when God returns, zap them or destroy them. But we don't know that. What we learn about God is that God is a God of love who loves each and every one of us. And we are reminded that when we are loving one another, when we're loving God with all of our hearts, minds, and strengths, when we're loving one another, we are awake. We are being woke. And there's nothing, you know, complex or esoteric about this notion to love one another. It's really quite simple. You love yourself. That's what Paul says. Love one another just as you love yourself. All of us love ourselves. When we are hungry, we feed ourselves. When we are sick, we want to make sure that ourselves are well. When we are naked, we clothe ourselves. We seek to be clothed. And so to be awake simply means that if those things are happening to our neighbors, then we do the same. We seek, if our neighbor is hungry, we feed them. If our neighbor is sick, we provide for their care. We seek for them to be well. If they are naked, we clothe them. Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour. The Son of Man is going to sneak up on us just like a thief in the night. And if we are intent on holding on to the world as we know it, if we are intent on living according to the values of the world, then we're going to be surprised. For those who believe in the power of money, they're going to be surprised. For those who believe that the most important things are our weapons and our guns, they're going to be surprised. For those who live their lives being governed by borders and walls, you're going to be surprised. But you and I won't be surprised. We will be wide awake when the kingdom of God comes, when the kingdom of God's gracious compassion and love and mercy breaks into our world, we will be wide awake, because we will be the people who've been anticipating it all alone. By loving God with all of our hearts, minds, strength, and by loving one another and loving those that God has called us to love. Stay awake. Stay alert. Be ready. Be ready for the coming kingdom of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for reminding us of your loving grace. No one knows the day or the hour, but you have called us to live right now as if the kingdom of God was already a reality, because it truly is a reality. It's a reality within each and every one of our hearts. It is a reality in the way that we love and treat one another. Wherever people are being reconciled to one another, wherever people are forgiving one another, wherever hungry people are being fed, wherever people are being invited into your kingdom of mercy and compassion, the kingdom of God is already at hand. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help all of us to stay awake, to stay vigilant, to stay ready. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.